Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. This is your host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon. Hope you were listening in the last half hour. I was on with Pastor John Lutz of North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, and we have been talking about the upcoming election and really highlighting the presidential election in particular. And Pastor John Lutz is in the studio with me right now. He'll be with us this half hour. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Brother Al. Appreciate it. And I really enjoy doing some shows with you, especially on something so important as this. I mean, this is...
Oh, absolutely.
This is one of our defining moments.
Yeah, we've heard other elections be described in the past as this is the most important presidential election. And I think there's a few that have been that way in my lifetime that I can think of. First presidential election I was ever able to vote in was President Ronald Reagan when he ran against Jimmy Carter back in 1980. And, you know, that one really changed the direction of this country because we had some, you know, in a sense, polar opposite views at that time in the midst of the Cold War. And Jimmy Carter, we had a candidate who said that, you know, we just got to learn to live with the Soviets. We're never going to be able to overcome their philosophy and all that. We just got to kind of live with them and accept it and get along with them. And Ronald Reagan came in and said, hey, it's an evil empire. Of course, he said that a little later, but he had that philosophy. And he said, no, this is America. God's favored this country, and it's morning in America, and we're going to rescue the economy. We're going to turn this country around. We're going to put people back to work. I remember at that time, you know, the economy was really bad. I mean, unemployment, double-digit unemployment. It was incredible, and he brought hope to America. That probably was the most transforming election, really, because President Reagan, of course, went on to establish the legacy that allowed the first President Bush to preside over the end of the Cold War. And that was a work of God, because after my time in the Air Force, seeing what was going on in parts of the world, I really believe we were losing the Cold War. I think we would have lost, and we would have capitulated more and more, and our freedoms would have been gone. God raised up somebody who he used, along with some other people in the world, Prime Minister Thatcher of Britain, in particular, that allowed the Soviet Union, an evil empire, as President Reagan aptly placed it, or put it, to be defeated. And that had made a huge difference in our world. Now we're at another point. We are at, I believe, a transformational election. This election, I believe, is going to decide the course of events in this country, just like the 1980 election did, for decades to come. The Supreme Court is at stake. There's one vacant seat available. Justice Scalia, who passed away, Justice Ginsburg is expected to retire from the bench due to age and health reasons, and there's perhaps two, three others who may be resigning with within the course of the next presidential term, and also numerous federal judges that the next president is going to be nominating. And these people are going to be there. They have lifetime appointments. It's the, you know, the whole reason that we have this discussion oftentimes on the abortion issue is because the courts gave us abortion. That wasn't the legislature. Right. That wasn't even an executive order.
Right.
Same-sex marriage. We're talking about that today because the courts gave us same-sex marriage. Nobody voted for that. In fact, all across this country, the overwhelming majority of the states with huge majorities voted in Defense of Marriage Acts. And with one ruling, the Supreme Court said they're unconstitutional.
Right.
And now we have, of course, opportunities. This whole thing with transgendered bathroom issues and things like that. There are cases right now that are working their way through the federal courts that the during the next year or two are going to make it to the Supreme Court, and that we have the very real possibility that the next Supreme Court, which is going to be shaped by the next president, will make a ruling on to whether or not you can keep men out of your daughter's bathroom and locker room at school. And there's a faction that is very vocal that believes it's unconstitutional. It's denying that transgender child his or her rights if you say that they cannot go into the locker room of the gender that they identify with, and which means letting boys go into girls' locker rooms, and we've already got cases where that's happening now. Courts are going to be deciding on that. They could rule that you have to allow that across the country, and in your churches, if you want your tax-exempt status, you have to capitulate with that same thing. So I believe this is a consequential election. Our gains that we've made in the pro-life issues, other religious freedoms, all these things are going to be shaped by the next president and their appointments to the Supreme Court and to the federal court seats that are open. And one of these two candidates is going to be elected in November, either Donald Trump, the Republican, or Hillary Clinton, the Democrat. Third party candidate is not going to be elected. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So when you vote that consequential 1980 election, and I was at Colorado State University, we were sitting in the dorm watching the results come in, and Anderson was a third-party candidate, and every vote for Anderson helped Reagan win. Anderson was to the left of Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
And we had an Anderson supporter on our floor, and we kept chanting, "A vote for Anderson is a vote for Reagan."
Right.
And he looked progressively less happy as the evening wore on. But and we've seen that where the third party candidates usually hurt the main party candidate that's the closest to them in their views, and they help the candidate that's furthest from them in their views, President H.W. Bush, and the election with where Perot took votes away from him and allowed Bill Clinton to become president for the first time.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example of that. And so Christians have to be aware of what we're doing in this next election. We have to know that if you vote third party, if you vote for, say, the Libertarian or the Constitution Party, most likely you're helping Hillary Clinton get elected. That's a fact. That's not opinion. That's fact. Studies have shown that. That's a provable fact. And so if you can't vote for Trump, I think you would agree with me, you can vote against Hillary, right?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, we often talk about conscience, and I know that's kind of the go-to for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going to violate my conscience. And God would never ask us to violate our conscience. But, you know, I know we've talked about this before many times. Doesn't it become a matter of conscience when you know that, one, it's one of those two choices. My vote, to be effective, it's going to be one of those two people. And I guess to me personally, it becomes a matter of conscience to say, if I don't vote for one of those two, I'm actually voting for the one that I don't want to get in. Because,
exactly.
And the Hillary supporters would say the same thing. If you, in fact, the president and she said the same thing. You know, mm-hmm. a vote. Not for Hillary or vote for a third party candidate. Is a vote
Stein,
not.
I think, is the Green Party,
which
is the closest to the Democrats.
Well, and that's the thing. And there was a great article written by, he's a political science writer at Yale. His name is John Stoer. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But he wrote this in he writes an article about his own experiences about his first election. And he voted the Socialist Party candidate at that time. Mm-hmm. And so, but he's come down, and then he got involved with Ralph Nader and that stuff. And then he goes through, and I'm not going to take time to read the whole thing, but this was really neat. He writes this. He says, "These structures are also why people like me say as often as they can to anyone who listens that a vote for a third party is a vote for one of the major party candidates.
Right.
The Electoral College and the winners take all system has an either or effect on voting. If you vote for Libertarian Party candidate Gary Johnson, that's one less for Republican Donald Trump or Democrat Hillary Clinton. Same if you vote for Green Party candidate Jill Stein. More precisely, a vote for Johnson is a vote for Clinton because Johnson supporters are mostly, but not all, disaffected Republicans. A vote for Stein is a vote for Trump because Stein supporters are mostly, but not all, disaffected Democrats. So it goes to, you know, there's different spectrum on the spectrum. There's different categories of each.
Right.
And we talked a little bit about the parliamentary versus the, you know, the two-party way that we do government. You know, other nations, England, they have parliamentary systems. So they may have two major thoughts, and that's really, if you want to boil it down, that's what we have. But within that, you have many different
subgroups.
And, you know, I guess that's really what third-party candidates are. They're subgroups within one of those two main categories. So when you're voting against, you know, you vote for Johnson, you're actually voting against Trump and for Hillary Clinton because the Johnson voters are really disgruntled Republican voters. And so it actually throws a vote in for Hillary. So I just thought that was neat, that perspective that he brought with that.
Right. And I know some people who favor the Constitution Party because they say, well, it's got a godly platform and a godly candidate, which is true, but he's not going to win. I say, well, God can do everything. Well, yes, he could, but we are also expected to look at things realistically, too.
God said I can make that stone speak if I want, but he didn't.
Yeah, exactly. and he expects us to do some things. You know, there's when you look at the miracles in the Bible, I don't want to get off track, but God always does the things that we can't do, but he expects us to do what we can do.
That's
when he fed the 5,000, Jesus didn't wave his hand and say, be ye filled. You know, he said, what do you got? And they found some food, and he said, make everybody sit down. Now, break the food up. He blessed it, and then he said, now, take the food and distribute it. And the people had to eat. Peter, when he was stuck in prison, Jesus, you know, didn't come down and snap his fingers, and Peter magically appeared at the church, you know, disappeared from the prison. He sent an angel, had to kick him to wake him up, and then Peter had to get up and walk out of the prison and wander through the streets to get to the church. So God expects us to do the things that we can, and then he'll do the things that we can't. And, you know, so we know that one of these two candidates is going to be there. So a vote for the Constitution Party actually helps Hillary Clinton. And this comes down to the conscience. And we're going to get to our calls here in just a minute. And you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. But when it comes down to the conscience, this is where I'm at. And tell me what you think before we get to our calls. If I know that I am going to help Hillary Clinton get in, I have to wrestle with the fact that if I didn't do anything to keep her from getting in office, then I am using my vote, or I'm saying I'm not using my vote to prevent abortion on demand, to prevent the further attack upon marriage, the further attack upon Christians, because, you know, Donald Trump listens to Christians. He's actually one of the first Republican candidates since probably Ronald Reagan that actually is listening to evangelical Christians and actually values their input. People who are around, who have been around him have mentioned this. And he wants to give us our voice back in terms of the political arena. Hillary Clinton says, well, if Christians don't believe what she believes, we need to change our beliefs. And they want freedom of worship, which means you can worship how you want to in your church.
Yeah, right.
But Donald Trump stands for freedom of religion, which is in our Constitution, First Amendment, which means you can practice outside of the walls of your church.
Right.
So I want my vote to do everything I can to further those freedoms and to prevent the loss of them. And if I don't do everything I can to keep Hillary Clinton from being elected, then I would not be able to live with my conscience in a sense. You know, God's called me to be salt and light.
Yeah.
Now, how can I do it otherwise?
Yeah, I agree with you in that sense because, you know, I think sometimes, boy, it's going to sound bad. I think we get too spiritual about things sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we think we're setting up the kingdom here, and we're not setting up the kingdom. We're not looking. I'm not looking for salvation from Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely not.
That's safe and secure in Jesus Christ. But as an American, I want what's best for America. I want what's best for my community, for my church, for my home, for my life. And when we already know what we're getting with Hillary. In fact, now that the mask is off and the cover is off, look how far they've taken this platform. I mean, it has gone so far. And one of the frustrating things is, as Christians, as Bible believers, you know, the amount of quote unquote churches out there, and let's face it, that's and maybe you agree with this, maybe you don't. One, we're getting what we deserve in these two candidates.
Oh, yeah.
And these two candidates, you know, how many times have we stood in our pulpits and preached that we, the political system or community, is reflective of the spiritual pulpits of the community. So when you take the office of the president, which in our term is the highest office in the political structure, that's a reflection of the pulpits of America.
Oh, yeah.
So we're watching that. So, you know, we as Christians, we can get all sanctimonious and we can get all self-righteous and say, well, they're way off base. But the reality is we've created this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the candidates have gotten worse and worse and worse because the churches have gotten worse and worse and worse. Because the church doesn't, the church was supposed to be the conscience for the state.
And we've not been.
We're not anymore. And so, you know, it's, I don't look at Trump as, you know, some people really struggle with, well, do you think God's sending Trump? Hey, I've been praying for a long time now. God, send us a reprieve. Send us. And I don't care if Donald Trump is the tool that God uses to stop the bleeding so we can assess the damage and start repairing things, then so be it. You know, this one writer here, let me find the article real quickly. And I know we got a caller here, so we'll get there in just a moment, where he gives this analogy. This is John Barber, by the way, is a Presbyterian minister. But he says, imagine our two families are miles from land in a sinking boat. Suddenly, out of the mist, come two boats to save us. One is captained by an adulterer, the other captained by a thief. Which boat will you get into? You say, neither one. I'm waiting for the evangelical boat, which is captained by a devout Christian who will end abortion. I say, you're kidding, right? You reply, both those guys are reprobates, and I'm not going to choose between those two evils.
I guess you'd wind up with the godly shark, huh?
Yes, you would.
Well, Brother John, we've got a caller calling in. And again, let me give those numbers. If you've got a question here about what we're talking about, and we'll have to get to them because our time is short, 888-677-9673. That's the number, 888-677-9673. And we've got Jeremiah, who's been waiting patiently. Jeremiah, welcome to the program this afternoon.
You know, that Jesus needs to throw me far and away.
I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
Jesus needs to throw me far away as the rock.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I hope I don't hit nobody.
Yeah. Well, what's your question for us here today?
Yes, it's a wonderful day God has made, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I'm thankful for the freedom that we have, that we can enjoy it, and we can talk about these things.
Yeah, both of your shows are a beacon of light to the world, you know, to us. Us believers and non-believers.
Well, that's great. We're glad for that. Did you have a question for us, Jeremiah, about what we're talking about today with the election?
Yeah, Donald Trump. I've heard an article about there's a scandal going on, sex scandal with him, accusing him of something that.
Yeah, there's actually quite a few things out there right now. Some of it based on things that he has said in the past, and some of it based on some people's comments of things that they claim that he said and did in the past. But
you know, same thing with Clinton. You know, at that presidential debate when those women was in the audience.
Oh, yeah. We know what you know. Bill Clinton did, and we know what Hillary Clinton did going after the women. The same woman that has ads running about being a champion of women's rights and saying that any woman that has a claim of being sexually abused should be listened to and should be heard is the same one who threatened and assassinated the character of those women that were in the audience at that debate that Donald Trump mentioned that had accusations against President Clinton.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note too, you notice Donald Trump. Now, obviously, they got him on video saying some of the things he said, but he didn't back away from it.
No, he confessed his sin.
He confessed it. He said, "I apologize," and he made a distinction between crossing a line. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. I got saved when I was 21 years old. I grew up in sports stuff, and you know, there's an argument going on between the locker room talk, and you know, if it's just trash talk and stuff like that. And you know, again, there's some sanctimonious, self-righteous people in that sense. I'm sorry. I haven't been in the locker rooms of NBA players or NFL players, but if they happened in the community center, I guarantee you they're happening in the professionals. I mean, what is about the stories when female reporters started going into the locker rooms there were reports of men walking around completely naked and those type of things. So don't tell me it doesn't happen. Don't tell me it hasn't happened. It's happened in my life before I got saved. Mm-hmm. And I praise the Lord it was before I got saved.
Yeah. Well, think about the music today, the hip hop rap music, where they get awards for some of the most horrible, the stuff that Trump, even the stuff that we have the recording of him that people have heard, that's mild compared to what is said in these songs. We can't even repeat the things on the air. They're X-rated, and they get awards, and the same people are hollering the loudest about, oh, no decent person ever says or thinks things like that. Yeah. One individual whom I'm thinking of, who was speaking in Columbus yesterday and in here in Cleveland today, said no decent person even thinks those things, has had people who sing about that and worse in the White House doing special concerts for him and the First Lady.
Yeah.
No names, please, right?
I think you just gave it away.
I never said President Barack Hussein Obama once.
Well, you guys continue being a beacon of light to people.
Thank you, Jeremiah.
Thanks for calling in, Jeremiah.
Thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate that, Jeremiah. And we've got just a couple minutes left in the program here. And, my goal, and I know Pastor John Lutz, his goal is we don't want to tell you. I mean, you figure out who we're voting for, I'm sure.
Yeah,
we're allowed, and we're perfectly allowed. We have the freedom to be able to say who we're voting for.
Right.
But, it's up to you. Who are you going to vote for? You have to allow the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you got to allow God to work in your heart. You say, well, Trump said some bad things. Well, he, as Pastor Lutz brought up, he said he made an apology. Peter came to Jesus in Matthew 18 and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now, let's assume that Donald Trump did get saved last month or last winter, like James Dobson claims. How often shall I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. He's talking about forgiving brothers and sisters in Christ. If he's truly saved, I would say that this admission of his sin, not running away from it, not justifying it, he said, that's who I was, but that's not what I am today.
Yeah.
That would make perfect sense in the context of somebody that got saved. Pastor Lutz, you said the same thing, didn't you, compared to what you used to be as an unsaved person?
Oh, absolutely, and that's what the Christian life's all about.
Exactly.
We want to hold on to things of the past, and we know there's real things in the past, and, we can either run from the past or we can deal with the past.
Mm-hmm.
And, there are some, and I think Hillary's campaign, their entire life has been running from the past and not wanting to deal with it and covering it up.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that Donald hasn't had that. And, the only distinction I would say is I really don't care if they're saved or not. If they ask for forgiveness, we're going to be forgiving.
Exactly.
Forgiveness is not exclusive to salvation, but now as Christian, the Christian, it's a different, there's a higher calling. But if an unsaved person comes up or if I offend an unsaved person, don't I have a responsibility to go and say, hey, I'm sorry, and those things. So these are just practical things, and it's just disheartening to see many, and my guess is they just weren't on board with accepting Trump being the nominee anyway.
I think that's the case.
And they're just found that excuse to say, well, see, this is what I told you.
Yeah.
And the Bible says the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. We do what we can do. It's up to the Lord. He's going to set him whoever needs to be, who we deserve, and we'll get through it. I mean, the Lord will get us through
it. Well, let me add this, and I had the assumption that if he is saved, we just got moments to go here. Let's say that he isn't saved, and it plays on what you said too.
Yeah.
He owned up to his mistakes and said it was wrong. Hillary Clinton will not own up to her mistakes. She justifies her, I think personally, having had a high security clearance myself, I think she should be in jail because of her mishandling of classified materials. But instead, she acts as if it nothing wrong with it. Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. There used to be a program wherever the one character got in trouble, she'd say, sorry, sorry, sorry. Yeah, no real repentance. And, and not owning up to many of the things she's been involved in. Donald Trump said things that hurt people. She said things that caused people to die.
Mm.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thanks to Pastor Lutz for being with
us. Thanks for having me,
Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.